We've talked about defending a country, and I've been on a topic talking about a kingdom, not of this world, not governed and guarded with ammunition and guns and rifles, but the weapons of our warfare are something very different in this kingdom. There's a spiritual aspect to it all. And I want to continue in this concept of the kingdom. And by the way, we also want to acknowledge the dads that may be here for Dad's Weekend at U of I. We're glad that you're here with us as well. And we're very proud to be able to and privileged to be able to continue the great foundation you've laid in your children's lives, and our heart is to see them continue to grow in the things of God. So we're talking about the kingdom, and just as review, we said that Jesus, he taught us to pray, what? Thy kingdom come, right? We're supposed to be praying for this kingdom. We said that the kingdom was of God was the rule of an eternal sovereign God over the universe where his laws govern. They don't all govern. They're all there, but they're not always being obeyed or are used in the government of our life or our society. We talked about kingdom theology already, but not yet. The kingdom of God is already here. Jesus talked about it being here, but there's something more. So we have something here now, but there's something for later as well. So we have the spiritual aspect now. There's going to be a physical aspect that will be later. So we're in this aspect of two already, but not yet. We've got, it's here, but it's not all here. So we still live in the results of the fall, but we have this power we're supposed to have to help affect it or fight it. And it's kind of complicated in this whole process. Last week we talked about 9 qualifications for the kingdom. Doing God's will, humility, don't be greedy for this world, a genuine love for people, embracing tribulation, embracing righteousness, walk worthy, don't look back, and don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. It's going to be okay. I want to continue on, and I want to talk about the keys to the kingdom. They've been given to us. The keys to the kingdom have been given to us. We find it in Matthew 16, 18 through 19. If you wouldn't mind, we'll stand and we can read this scripture together. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You may be seated. There's some aspect of some keys that have been given. When I look at this, I don't see it. And I can, because as we continue on through this progression, you'll see it as well. Not just for Peter, these keys are given, but metaphorically given to Peter, but also given to us as well, given to Christians. We're going to realize that we possess a key. We possess, and those keys talk about authority. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom, and keys equal an authority. There's an authority that we have to walk in the kingdom of God. Something that he's called us to that's super powerful. Able to do things like bind and loose. Able to declare things in heaven and see them on earth. This aspect of what's going on is a powerful thing, a powerful concept. But a lot of us are kind of oblivious of the keys we have. Isn't it an exciting thing to get keys? Did any of you get a car when you were growing up? Did anybody here, parents, give you a car when you were growing up? Spoiled brats. No, I'm just kidding. I just didn't get one, so no, I'm just... No, I got to use one, though. My mom had a Pontiac Firebird 400, four-barrel carburetor convertible. Can you imagine that? And a kid who shouldn't have been driving it. Literally, because I ran into a telephone pole with it. Yes, yes. But it was my friend's fight, or my friend's problem, because we were fighting over the radio and bam, we ran into the tree. Never mind, that's another story, another message. Keys. You get a key, it's fun to get a key, man. It's like, oh man, you get keys to a car, keys. You know, just recently my son Creighton got keys to his house. He's up here on Fountain now, and, huh? Yeah, we're gonna be neighbors, yes. He got keys to the house, and as soon as he got the keys to the house, you know, everything's going through and all the stuff's going through, and as soon as he got the keys to the house, he called us, and he called a bunch of people. Hey, got the keys. It's like, you know, it's like you're in negotiations and all that, but you know something happened when you got the keys, right? So he's got the keys. He got the keys to his house, and he was so excited. He's got the keys to the house. But when he got the keys to the house, then the work started. Because we have destroyed the home. We're remodeling. He hasn't even moved in yet. We've torn the whole thing apart. It seems like when you get the keys, it gives you authority to start working, right? To start working. Pastor Joe found that out. He gets his house, he remodels it. Pastor Dan, he did the same thing. He gets the house, he remodeled it. Kenny Byers, he's constantly remodeling. His wife has him doing lots of stuff. And he's good at it. Yes, he's very good. He's good at everything. You see, when Jesus gives us the keys to the kingdom, we need to do the work of the kingdom. He didn't give me, go, oh, here's your house. Oh, I'm done. Ta-da. The end. It was over. No, it's just the beginning. The keys are this aspect of authority that you can begin to do something with those keys that you have possessed. Take possession and advance his kingdom. He is opening up doors for us with the keys. God in your walk in life is going to use those keys to open up doors in your life that you never thought could happen. Things that seem beyond you, things that seem to be miraculous. God uses keys to begin to open up things in your life and in your realm of you walking out this kingdom process. He's going to do things for you that you never thought would happen because there's an authority, there's a key he's given us. Keys, keys. Have you ever had keys that you don't know what they go to? Is that frustrating or what? Ever have keys? Catherine gave me these. These are the keys our church possesses that nobody knows what they go to. These are all the keys that we have in this church that nobody has any idea of what they go to. We have just frustrating things. We just have things. You know, even this has it means nothing what it says on here. It's just, have you ever had a key and you just don't know what it goes to? Do you just throw it away? No, because you're afraid it goes to something, right? I have no idea. I've checked everything. It goes to nothing, but I'm not going to throw it away because just in case it goes to something. The problem is you put it somewhere and then you find out, oh, I think that key might go to that. You have no idea where you put the key. Keys are powerful things, but not very powerful when you have no idea what it does. Have no idea what it does. And let me say this. I'll say this with kindness. There are many Christians that have the keys to the kingdom and they don't really know what it opens up. They have the keys to the kingdom that have been given to them and have no idea what it opens up. So they put it on their nightstand. They put it in a desk drawer. They roll it away and they just completely forget about it rather than trying to find out, what does this key go to? What is the key to the kingdom? What does it open up for me? Nothing. I'm just going to discard it and put it with all the other junk that I have hidden somewhere. They're ignorant. But you see, different keys open up different things in your life. And God's given you the keys to the kingdom. Why is it that when we, you know, when in a football game, you're kicking off, what do? Do this? Have you ever done that before? You got your keys out? Get your keys out. Little jingle. Why do we do that? Go Cougs! By the way, 9-1, Go Cougs! We have one of the strength and conditioning coaches in here, and I just, oh man, I'm so excited. We have some of the football players here. We have other coaches, and oh man, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed this game much more. Cause we were just, it was fun to just watch us just keep scoring and I was never frightened I was never worried. It was, of course, I have to tell you this just because it happened, we went and watched the football game. I have it recorded, right? So I'm recording it. So, and we're late. I went and helped Creighton, some of his demolition. We went to the dump and we dumped it all. And so it's like 1:30. And so the game starts at 12:30 and we finally get in there and then we watch it. Well, Christian had been in there. He watched the game. Then he had to go someplace else. So he took off, and so he said, hey, put it back to the start. So Creighton and I go in there and watch it, and his kids are there, and so we're watching, and the Cougs are going down, they're going down, they're going down, they're going down, and I looked to Roman. I said, Roman, give Grandpa a big hug. And he goes, I know how this is going to play out. And I go, what do you mean you know how it's going to play out? I thought he was talking about the hug. He goes, I know how it's going to play out. They're not going to score, and the other team is going to go back and score 7 points. I said, excuse me? I go, Roman, were you in that message where I talked about this exact thing happening in the service? Somebody tells me the story ahead of time. And so I was just a little bummed right then. And he felt sad. He felt really sad. I mean, honestly, he felt really sad. Because I think I felt really bad and really bad and really sad. And finally, you know, we made up and the Cougs won and it's all good. It's all good. It's all good now. But poor guy. I mean, I was just at first I was going, okay, Roman, if you know something like on a football game and I'm watching it, I want to be surprised. Okay. Okay. I'm not like Tracy, Pastor Tracy Weaver, who likes to know the end before she starts it. I like to just be surprised a little bit in them. Anyway, I just thought it was ironic. Anyway, sorry. I gotta keep going. Keys, we jingle those things. Yeah. I always thought it meant like, hey, start the bus, this game's over. That's what I thought we were doing it for. You know, hey, the game's over, man, we're winning, so. But I think it's something more polite than that. Maybe not. You see, getting the keys is when you start taking ownership, but using the keys is when you start taking possession. And God wants us to possess the kingdom. Not have it in name. I mean, you could have a lot of stuff in name. You could have a $1 million house someplace in name and never ever go there. But wouldn't you like to go there, possess it, enjoy it, live in it? God's given us the kingdom, but do we possess it? Are we walking in it? Are we unlocking doors? Are there areas in your life where you're going, you're praying for something? You want to unlock something. You're believing that God's called you to something. You have something to do. You have something to be and you're believing God for it. So you're using those keys to begin to open up through prayer and believing that God is powerfully going to do something in your life. You see, I want to talk about being kingdom minded and I want to talk about this progression of kingdom mindedness. Okay. Being kingdom minded and a progression here. I'm going to try to get through it quickly. Being kingdom minded. Before Jesus was born, the kingdom was the purpose. Before he was ever born, look what it says in Luke 1, 31 and 30 through 33. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and begins to tell her this. And she's, wow, what's this? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Already starting at the very beginning of this progression, there's going to be a kingdom. And that kingdom will never stop. It will be so powerful. Secondly, Jesus was kingdom minded from a very young age. It was prophesied before he started, but even as a very young age, he's thinking kingdom-minded stuff. Luke chapter 2, verses 48 through 50. This is when Jesus was 12 years old. 12 years old, the family makes a pilgrimage to the Passover in Jerusalem. So they're all there enjoying the feast. They decide, hey, it's time to go. Let's go. They all get in the caravan. They all take off. Well, about a day's journey later, Joseph and Mary, Joseph says, hey, is Jesus with you? Mary says, hi, I thought Jesus was with you. Ave. Where is he? I don't know. He's not here. Asking everybody. Nobody knows. They all go back to Jerusalem. All right? They get back there. They look for him for 3 days. Okay, so now it's been 4 days. He's lost. All right? We've lost the Messiah. I'm sure that was startling. So look what it says here. So when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. Now, part of the amazement is, remember, as he's there, what he was doing is, he was sitting there listening to the teaching of the elders there, and he was answering questions, and he was asking them questions, and they were all amazed at how brilliant this kid was. You're amazing. Now, I kind of think, though, so when Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. I think when they first saw him, they were relieved. And then they were, like you would be, I'm sure. Or, you know, when your kid, you can't find him, you can't find him, you can't find him. It's been days, you finally find him, right? You're relieved. And then what are you? Where were you? What the heck? He says, there he goes. They were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" I would say the same. Why did you do this to us? We were one day's journey. Now we're back here. We've been 3 days looking for you. Could you have texted or something? Emailed us? He said to them, "Why do you seek me?" I don't know, maybe because you're 12 and you're in the city by yourself and I don't know. And we're your parents? Ever say that to your folks? Oh, don't worry. You have no idea what you're doing. Now, I could understand Jesus saying this. Don't worry. Heck, I'm the Son of God. He said to them, "Why do you seek me?" Because we don't know where you are. You're 12 years old. You're supposed to be with us. What the... Did you not know? Look at this now. Did you not know that I, if you have your Bible, circle the word must. I must be about my Father's business. And here they are taking it going, oh, okay. Verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Your father's a carpenter. You're supposed to be building stuff. You're supposed to be playing with those blocks and stuff, you know, that you can hit hammers with. And he said, "My father's not a carpenter. My father's a king. And I'm about the business of the kingdom." He says, "I'm about my father's business," and he's not a carpenter. Although I enjoy my stepfather here, but my real father, his business is the kingdom. He was about advancing the kingdom of God at the age of 12. Next in this progression, Jesus was kingdom-minded when he started his ministry. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, at the start of his ministry and throughout his ministry, it says, "Then Jesus went out about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the and healing sickness and disease among the people. But when they saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He said to them, 'They're weary and they're scattered like sheep, having no shepherd.' And then he said to his disciples, 'Hey guys, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the labors, where are they? They're minimal. We got a harvest problem here. We got a lot of crops and nobody to harvest it all. We got a problem here. Pray. We get more harvesters in this. That's why we have the 2020 vision that we have. We want more harvesters in the kingdom, on the mission field, and in our own community. We want more harvesters out there, more laborers in the kingdom." And he says he heals every sickness, every disease. You see, the result of kingdom-minded ministry is this power to heal people, this power to do miracles. Further on this progression, Jesus, not only was it prophesied, not only when he did it when he was 12, not only when he started his ministry, but now he sends out the 12 to be kingdom-minded, to do kingdom-minded ministry. In Luke 9, 1 through, starting at verse 1, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and Jesus gave them power, and secondly, he gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Wow. Secondly, Jesus sent them to do, number one, preach the kingdom of God, and number two, to heal the sick. So they departed, went throughout the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, healing everywhere. They were obedient to what Jesus asked them to do. You see, they did kingdom things. They preached the gospel and they healed people. In order to do kingdom things, Jesus gave them what? And what did he give them? And to do the work of the kingdom. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It means a force or miraculous power, a miracle itself. This force, this power to do something great. Now, where's my little, where are my nails here? He gave us power. He gave us power to do stuff. Here's my nail, here's my hammer. Other hand, that's my. All right, hey! You see, I can do it myself, or that's pretty cool, or I can. That's pretty cool. I can either do it myself in my own efforts and my own power, or I can use the power that he gave me. Is there any lady out there who's never used one of these? There's probably a lot of men. Has any man used one of these? When Creighton got this, you know what's cool about this? We're up in there and trying to hammer nails into these joist hangers. We don't have any space and we can't even get to them. And he gets this thing and goes, bah, bah. You know what I said to him? I want that. I want that. Do you have any lady out there who's done no carpentry work, doesn't know any skill about nothing? Well, I don't. Is there any lady out there who doesn't have any carpentry skills? Who doesn't? Is there somebody new here? That's newer. Clarice, why don't you come on up here? Come on up here. You're being bold. You're bold. Yes. Come on up here. Come on up here. Now here, put that on. What's that? Put that on. Okay. Now take this. Put that like that. Put that right there. And you can put it like that. Now just push down on it. Wait, you put it straight. Push down on it. Was that cool? Try that again. Do it again there. Try this. Put that in. Go ahead, put it in there. All right, choke up a little more.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. No, go ahead. Just get her in there. Don't let me bother you. Okay. Now do this again. Okay. Which one was funner?
Probably this one.
Let me see. Thank you for a hand, okay? Give her a hand. He said he's given us a power, a dunamis. Do you know what the word spirit is in the Greek? The word spirit. Do you know what the Greek word for the spirit is in the Greek? It's the word pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. Do you know what pneuma means? Air. Because this is run by... Grab that, Curtis, over there. Tell him what it's connected to. Or can you even bring it out? I don't know if you can. This is connected to something that's producing. Whoops, uh-oh. Got it. We got a compressor. Thank you, Carol. Carol Merrill. What I want to say is this. is that God came with the kingdom to give us a power, and that power just isn't a natural power that you can just grunt more and make it happen. He's literally giving you and aiding you with the Holy Spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God. But that breath of God, when it's compressed and put together into a powerful way, it does amazing things for the kingdom of God and makes doing the work of the kingdom a lot more powerful, a lot more fun, a lot more amazing. God's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we walking in that power? Here's a, it's not you, right? It's the Holy Spirit. I love this video here. I don't think I could give you a better illustration of how the power of God works and where it comes from. It does not come from you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whoa, somebody gets healed. Lord, open up this door. Lord, make this happen. Lord, I'm praying for this miracle. Do you understand? It's not you, but there is a person. The power of the Holy Spirit of God who is moving, who is opening up things for you. Because we're praying and we're believing and God is using us as we advance the kingdom of God. Are you walking in His power? In His power. The other word here is authority. Authority. The word authority is the word exousia. Say that. So we have dunamis and exousia. Exousia. It means a privilege, a force, a capacity, a competence, a freedom, a mastery, superhuman, or a delegated influence. You see, authority is the right to exercise the power. The authority is the right to exercise the power. You need the authority to exercise the power. Like this one. Here's a kid who maybe didn't quite have...
What about the back?
Can't really see the back, but... Yeah, I think it needs to get some of these. Get some of these sideburns. I hate these parts. Flippy parts. There you go. Whoa. Oh.
What?
You took the clipper off.
The guard.
Sorry.
We need to get mommy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We need to get mommy. Yes, it's bald. Where's the cover?
I don't know.
We need to get mommy at certain times in our life, right? You're walking with power, but without authority, we start doing the wrong things the wrong way, right? He's given us a power, and He's given us an authority to use that. It's interesting, I asked Pastor Joe about this, and he told me, or he gave me permission to say this, actually he offered it up, that Foss Painting actually painted the wrong house one day. They had the power to paint that house, but not the authority to paint that house. Therefore, they did not get paid to paint that house. They did it for free, but although she did appreciate it, she wished it was just a little bit darker. But her whole house was paid. As a matter of fact, she said, "Do you do roofs too?" She literally, she asked me if she did roofs too, and anyway. power and authority work together, right? Work together. Work together, right? I think also about... Where's that other little one here, Curtis? Can you find it for me here? It fell down. Yeah, do you have it? You would put it. I have right here in my hands. I have the power. I have the power to do a root canal. I have the power right here to do a root canal. Did you find it? Okay. I have the power. I know what you're all thinking. That's nuts. That's crazy. I agree. I need a little smaller one. A little smaller because I know your teeth aren't that big. I have the power here to do a root canal. Anybody here want to give me the authority to do it on them?
Nope.
You see, we need both power and authority to move and to see the kingdom of God advance. That's why in your quiet time, when you talk to Him, He gives you a sense of the power, but we're also trying to find out what is the authority. What key do you want me, what door do you want me to open up with this key? You give me keys, what key? What do I do? What am I supposed to say? How do I do it? What do I say? What am I going to go? Where am I doing? We're listening to the voice of God. As we're exercising the power He's given us with the authority that He's given us, it's amazing. You see, by the way, I also do filling, or I do fillings, not just root canals. So, okay, anyway. You see, power without authority is messy. Power without authority is messy. And I see some Christians doing messy stuff. Authority without power is ineffective. But power with authority? Kaboom! The world is changed by Christians who are walking in the power of God and the authority of God because it's a part of the kingdom of God. I love this. Promise Troll. Remember when the power went out here a little while ago? I don't know if it went out in everybody's stuff, but in our neck of the woods here, it went out. And so they're out there and they're down at the traffic light. The traffic light is out. It's not working and all that. And so, you know, she's Promise asking, what happened? Well, it's broken. The light's broken. And Promise says, Daddy can fix it. Daddy can fix it because you just put it on Daddy's desk, right? And then Daddy fixes it. The cool thing is the next day, the stoplight, it's fixed. So they're there at the stoplight again. And so they're back there and they're going, just getting ready to go through the stoplight. And she says, yay, Daddy fixed it. Let me tell you, there's our Daddy's in heaven and He can fix it. Our Daddy's in heaven and He can fix it. He can fix it. Thinking through this progression, He sends out the 12, but He doesn't just send out the 12. He's advancing His kingdom, right? So the next progression is Jesus sent out 70 to do kingdom ministry. In Luke 10, starting at verse 1, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and He sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, the harvest truly is great and the laborers are few. He's on this harvest and laborers thing, man. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers. That's why we want to do this. More harvesters and out into the harvest. Verse 9, He told them to heal the sick and to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Now, I think that's kind of trash talking there, but nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. He asked them to go out and preach the kingdom of God. He asked these 70, but the progression continues to go on. Jesus sends all of us out with authority to do His kingdom ministry. Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission, right? The resurrection's happened before the ascension. He speaks to the people and He says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all Say it with authority. All
authority.
Oh, good job. All authority, all exousia has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now he's implying, I'm giving it to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you to do. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. Amen. You see, we've been directed by Jesus to advance his kingdom. And how do we advance his kingdom? How do we use this authority to advance his kingdom? He says, make disciples, make these devoted followers of Christ. Baptize them. That's why we encourage and encourage baptism. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Amen. Teach them the Bible to observe all things so you know what you believe and you know why you believe it. We're doing this because it's our commission. It's what God's called us to do to advance the kingdom. And his promise is, hey, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. I'll help you. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the keys. I'll open up doors. I'll let my spirit come. I'll give you a supernatural power, allow you to do supernatural things. I'm in this. I'm vested. I just need you to help me advance it. And then Jesus, the next progression here, Jesus gives us all the power to do kingdom ministry. He gives us the authority. He gives us the power in Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe was condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. This power, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's why we do it. He's given us a power. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tearing the city of Jerusalem till you have been endued or clothed with power, dunamis from on high. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what will you do? You'll witness. You'll advance my kingdom. You see, he's given us a mission to advance his kingdom. Then he's given us an authority to advance the kingdom. Then he's given us a power to advance his kingdom. It's all a God thing. What part of the kingdom are you advancing? What part of the kingdom where you live, where you go to school, where you work, where you shop, are you advancing the kingdom? And what tools are you using to advance the kingdom? 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. The kingdom of God is not in word. Not just something said, not just something thought. But in power, in dunamis. The kingdom of God is not mere words or thoughts, but powerful doings, advancing the kingdom. And then in this progression, we're going through this progression from birth, age 12, and his ministry starts. He gives it to the 12. He gives it to the 70. He gives power. He gives authority. Jesus tells us the gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached to the whole world in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. We need to be about the business of our Father. We need to be about our Father's business. And that is advancing the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, and kind of following this theme through, we'll get to the very end of the book of Revelations. You read this yesterday if you're in a Bible reading, and I encourage you, get in our Bible reading, get the app, start reading with us, get in the Word. You need to be reading it daily. Revelations 11:15-16. The seventh angel sounded. This is the end of time. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever the fulfillment of what Gabriel said to Mary, and his kingdom shall never end, is fulfilled in the book of Revelations, and it will last forever and ever and ever and ever. This spiritual kingdom that we're walking in now becomes a physical kingdom, the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're an amazing God. Even sometimes when we aren't quite amazing people. But Lord, you love us and you work with us. You develop us, you mold us, you grow us. You change us, you transform us. You endue us with power. You give us authority. You give us a mission. So you're not just here to just go through life and try to make it, see how much things you can accumulate in the process. You say, I got a mission for you. I want you to advance my kingdom. I want you to share with the people, your friends, and tell them about this kingdom and this God who's the king of it, who loves them so much and cares about them, died for them and loves them. Advance my kingdom. I'll give you the authority. I give you the power. There's so many doors yet to be unlocked in your life that are part of the kingdom. Let me show you which key goes where. Don't put it in a drawer. Use it for my glory. Father, help us as we seek to be those who advance your kingdom. And we look forward to that day when the kingdom is a physical reality. And the new Jerusalem that we inhabit becomes our daily expression of walking with our loving Father in heaven. Where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more dying, no more sighing, no more pain. Because the former things pass away and all things become new. Lord, we want to help it. We want to help see that come to pass. We want to do our part, Lord. As kingdom-minded people, doing our Father's business. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone.